predicament. Unfortunately, we don't have much time, but we can wait for the next conference to finish Isaiah. But it's good to have a conclusion. I want to thank the Father for this whole time. It is from Him and not of us. It's good to experience that, to do everything according to His way, according to Him. And I'd like to encourage you once again, the worship for the Father is not a time of exhortation, exhorting one another, nor is it a time just for encouraging, that we encourage one another, but we bring Christ as the reality and substance of all these offerings to satisfy our Father. This is what the Father wants. That's why long ago I already mentioned, but whether the saints wanted to receive it or not, that's not my responsibility. The difference between the offering and a testimony and sharing. The testimonies are for the unbelievers. We show and display what the Lord is. He said, "You are my witnesses." The Father doesn't need my witness for Him, and you don't need my witness. Or if you testify, it would encourage me. The Father doesn't want a testimony, but He wants to see that Christ grew in you. And He doesn't just want any kind of experience, but He wants a prescribed offering. This is what He wants from you. He wants to have a burnt offering, a meal offering. The humanity, the wonderful humanity of the Lord is what He wants. The peace offering. He wants the peace offering with the wave and the heave offering. Everything that has to do with this wonderful Christ and all the aspects which He accomplished. The sin offering. That we would be freed from the slavery of sin and death. Because the Lord doesn't just want to forgive us, He wants to release us. That's why the desire, the longing of the Father is not to have so much the trespass offering, but the sin offering. Trespass offerings are just in case of emergency. If we fell and we made a mistake, then we take the blood, which is very necessary and very precious. But the Father would like to see that we bring sin offerings. And that's not just forgiveness for something I did and I do it again, but it is the release, the spirit of the law of life. The Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. What a glory to the Father if we have experienced this liberty, this release. Can you imagine if 100 saints here, everyone stood up and said, "Oh, I failed and I sinned and He forgave me." And the next one stands up and says, "I made this mistake and oh, yeah, I'm terrible. But now praise the Lord for the blood." Then she also stands up and says, "Oh, I fought with my husband and I fought." And then the Father forgave me. And then, "Oh, I stole something." You know, this is not a glory for the Father. That is not the glory for the Father. And that is why the Father doesn't long so much that we bring a trespass offering, but a sin offering, even a big, great sin offering, because the Lord has released us. And all these things I hope that we take heed and learn these things. It takes practice. In those days, for the priests had to be trained for 5 years in the time of the Old Covenant. They had to learn for 5 years. They had to be trained. But to have a testimony, so to speak, that the Lord has fully released us and set us free and changed our life, taken us out of the pit, this wonderful salvation of the Lord. He gave us a new life. It's wonderful. Such a wonderful salvation from the Lord. That is what glorifies the Father. So praise the Lord. I want to encourage us all to learn and to practice. This is just an encouraging word to remember. And in the end of this section, we can see in 10 minutes we're going to finish Isaiah 48. Isaiah had many sections which are very important. Without these sections, we couldn't see Isaiah so clearly what God is speaking to us through him. We can see in the 12 chapters, there was such a wonderful song afterwards. I still can't hear. And at the end of the section, there was also a section with a song. And now then we saw the judgment. And at the end of this section, chapter 48, it was not that encouraging, because even though the Lord had done so much and said so much, the people were stiff-necked and wouldn't receive it. And that's why this section ends with verse 22. Can you read it? There is no wicked, says the Lord. Oh, sorry, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Is that a glorious conclusion? It was not a glorious conclusion. And this is a warning to us. It's very possible, after everything that the Lord has done and everything he has said, and he exhorted us and comforted us in such a strong way, and yet we still need healing. We need an inner healing. Lord, heal us. Then, at the very end, we have the fall of Babylon and judgment upon her in Isaiah chapter 46. Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. And we see this again in the book of Revelation, Revelation 18. Babylon has fallen. So you see, in those days, there was an earthly Babylon, the city of Babylon. But that was only a picture which was pointing to the future Babylon. And the destruction of this Babylon, of the earthly Babylon, is small in comparison to the destruction of the great Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. And we have to see this today. Don't think, oh, we don't need to talk about Babylon. No. God wants to judge the city with double measure. We don't know how much God hates this city. But we empathize with Babylon. Don't speak so much about Babylon. Otherwise, you'll offend people. Actually, you're not offending people. You're offending the enemy, Satan, because he is the master builder of Babylon. Or are you afraid of offending him? Insulting him? This is a building, a dwelling of demons. Oh, you can't say that, otherwise you're going to insult or offend people. What kind of a thinking is that? God wants to fully destroy it and with fire and smoke. And that's what we see, that Babylon went up in smoke. What did they say? In chapter 18, did the people say, oh, sorry, but in the heavens they were all rejoicing, hallelujah. They all said hallelujah. So which group do you belong to, actually? Do you belong to those who say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. They were jumping up and down, hallelujah. And the other group was, oh, poor Babylon. We all have to see how God sees. And it's written in God's word. Why don't we want to obey God's word? To see Babylon as God sees it. And here, why at the end of this section, there are two chapters, 46 and 47, God emphasized this again. Babylon has fallen. Unfortunately, we don't have too much time to speak about it. But we have to see this. And who destroyed Babylon? Cyrus. The Lord is going to need another Cyrus to destroy Babylon today. There was a Cyrus at that time. And there will also be a Cyrus, a modern Cyrus, today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then we come to the end. This is a quick finish. Very direct and to the point. We all have to learn to do everything short and to the point. Oh, like stretch out like a rubber band. Normally, it should just be this small, but then it gets so long when you pull it out, like spaghetti. Sometimes we also have to laugh a little. Assurance, point 11 on the last page. Assurance of salvation and deliverance from Babylon to his obstinate people. And now, again, the Lord emphasized. Verse 3. We can't read much, but we'll read verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning. He said that again. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Everything that God says will come to pass. You can be assured of that. 100% sure. Unfortunately, there's not 1,000%. 100% is good enough. Because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. My goodness. I didn't know that my neck was that strong. But the word says it. That is how it is.
Verse 5,
even from the beginning I have declared it to you, before it came to pass. That's why God spoke, but they still didn't believe him. And the God even gave them an explanation. He's such a patient God. He even explained himself. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, so that you can't say, oh, he didn't do that, but an idol did that. Verse 6, you have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? They don't want to declare it. I have made you hear new things. Don't you want to hear new things? Many say there's not anything new anymore. They don't want to hear anything new and just mock it if they hear something new. Even hidden things. Woe to us if we and you and I think we already know everything. How often do I have to tell the Father, Father, show me some more. I don't know everything. Too little. Or do you already know everything? We often have to tell the Father, Father, show me new things. Great things. Great things that I don't know. That's what Jeremiah said. They are created now and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. That is not good. It's not good to say that, oh, I already knew that. Oh, I already knew that before. That's a lie. Maybe you knew something, but you didn't know what the Lord really wanted to do. We humans shouldn't be so proud that we know everything. Surely, verse 8, surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. I really like these words. Surely from long ago your ear was not opened. I hope that all the people hear these words on live stream. Because I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. Oh. I don't want to end the conference in this kind of a way. But I have no choice. These are not my words. These are God's words. Through the prophet Isaiah. Then he said, verse 9, for my name's sake I will defer my anger, and for my praise I will restrain it from you. And how often the Lord has to still restrain himself and be patient with us. I thank the Lord that he's patient. But once he has finished with his patience, then what will you do with this new opportunity? I'm sorry, while he's still patient, what will you do with this life? The Lord gave me a new life. The question is, what am I going to do with this new life, right? Praise the Lord, it's wonderful. What are we going to do? What do we want to do? And why did the Lord restrain himself? As Peter said, the Lord extended or delayed. He delayed himself so that we could all repent. If we don't come to repentance, then why do we have this extension, this time of extension? That's why he said, I have restrained myself for your sake. So that I do not cut you off. So what are we going to do after this conference? Waiting to be cut off? Verse 10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction, For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. O Lord. Then he also says again, for how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another. Then at the end, in verse 14, in the section, he again emphasized concerning Cyrus. The Lord also could not forget Cyrus. He even loves him. The people hated him, but God loves him. What should I do? It's not about us. It's about the fulfillment of God's purpose. The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon. And his arm, even in our time today, the Lord will raise up a Cyrus. And his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. 15. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I have brought him. And his way will prosper. This is what I would like to see today. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter who he is. And I want to tell you, don't forget. I did not say this and this person, so-and-so, is Cyrus. I'm not saying that. I just said possibly. And we just have to wait and see. Learn not to say, yeah, he is Cyrus. No. Should I emphasize that again? Do not say that. Otherwise, people will think you're crazy. No, that is not our gospel. But this is just a warning to us that it's very possible that the time will come very soon. It's for us. It's not to go to your colleagues at the university. It's not for them. But Lord, it has to happen sooner or later, and someone has to do it. And I want to know from him, Lord, if you have appointed someone, can you please let me know? Tell me your mystery, your secret. Make known your mystery to me. Verse 16, come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. That means God does not want to hide something important from us. But do you have the desire to hear it? Do you have joy to hear it? Not because we're curious. No, I'm not curious. I just want to know so that I can prepare myself. Right? Don't be curious. Oh, is it him? Is it that? Why? Why? And let's argue. And then we're going to argue. We'll have an argument. No. Then we'll be killed like the cats. That's what the saying, curiosity killed the cat. We're not any cats. We're not cats. Praise the Lord. Maybe that's an American saying and not a German one. Curiosity killed the cat. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and here we can see at the end of this section in verse 20, go forth, come out of her, Babylon. Come to God. Come near to me. He is our Redeemer. He wants to redeem us from all things, not just from the world and from sin, not just from the eternal condemnation, but from the world today, out of this present evil age. That's what Galatians says. And out of Babylon, the last call, come out of her, my people. And that's why you have to know where you are today. If you didn't even know that you're in Babylon, then you won't come out of her. You'll even feel comfortable in it. Oh, Lord. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. We can't teach something that's unprofitable. Who leads you by the way you should go. We need his leading. Don't think that we know everything. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the end, it says, go forth from Babylon, verse 20. That is a call that we also should proclaim to all the people of God. I can't say any more. What else can I say? It's written so clearly. And this call, Isaiah already wrote it 2,700 years ago. And now, in Revelation, John said it again, and it applies to us today. Come out of her, my people. And the warning is that you will not partake of her plagues, her sins, and that's why, her judgment. So the choice is yours. The victory is also yours. But the choice, it's our choice. What do you want to do? Go forth from Babylon. Praise the Lord. That's the end of this section. Come out of her, my people. That means his people was captured in Babylon, in the Babylonian captivity. If we don't do that, then there won't be a peace for the ungodly, for the wicked. Verse 22, we do not want to partake of what the wicked will partake of. Praise the Lord. So thank you for your patience. Let's pray.